The reading this evening is from Psalm 27, verses 4 to 6. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Thank you, Tommy. Well, good evening.
Seeking the Lord's face is a pretty bold thing to ask for a Jewish listener. This is very radical. David, a mere mortal, wanting fellowship with the immortal, all-powerful Lord God Almighty. And the reason why it's radical, well, the answer is to be found in Exodus 33 in the Old Testament. Moses also, like David, he sought the Lord. He wanted the Lord's presence as a guarantee of his promises. He said, "Now, Lord, show me your glory." But it was not possible for Moses, a mere mortal, to directly see the Lord's face. For the Lord said to him, "You cannot see my face. No one can see the Lord and live." Moses was only able to indirectly experience the Lord. He actually saw the back of the Lord, but not his face. But here in the psalm, such is the boldness of David. David's yearning is not just to think about the Lord, to contemplate the Lord, but to see the Lord in his heavenly state, to see him with his eyes. And such is David's yearning. Contrast this yearning that he has to that of his son Solomon. Solomon in the Book of Kings, in 1 Kings 3, the Lord says to him, "If there's one thing you seek, what is it that you seek? And I shall grant it." And Solomon asks for wisdom, for good government, discernment so that he can govern wisely. But David doesn't want a gift. He wants fellowship. He wants intimacy with the giver of gifts. And that's not to say that we shouldn't ask for good things. We have a generous father, a good, good father, who loves to give his children good things. But friends, David's behavior shows us what it really means to love the Lord, that we should seek the Lord's face and not merely his hands. To love God for who he is, not simply for what he does. It's just looking at verse 4 of this passage. One thing I have asked of the Lord, this is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. The Hebrew word for dwell is so rich. It means to be settled, to be really secure. And in making this request, David seems to sound so pious. But friends, I don't think David wants to show off how holy he is. I think instead, he wants to express how essential, how crucial, how fundamental it is for human beings to have intimacy with the Lord. We desperately need the Lord. Only by being with the Lord is David settled. Only by being with the Lord is David truly secure. The Lord, his true foundation. And elsewhere in the Psalms, in Psalm 105, David says, "Seek the Lord always, always." See, David had such a troubled life. He had so many problems. Having a family did not lead to David being settled. He had such a dysfunctional family. His own son, Absalom, tried to kill him and take the throne. Being king didn't leave David settled. He had so many enemies, and there were many attempts to assassinate him. Even human relationship didn't give David that feeling of being secure, being settled. He lusted after another woman as a married man. He committed the act of adultery with Bathsheba. Only God is David's true security. Only by being with the Lord does David feel settled. And the theologian Walter Brueggemann speaks of this psalm as speaking of the reliability of God, as being a psalm of orientation, meaning that this is a biblical truth that we can base our whole life on. That we can find that the Lord brings fulfillment, lasting satisfaction. Only God is truly reliable. Hallelujah. Seeking the Lord's face and not only his hands, it can be challenging. It means loving and trusting God, even when he doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we want. And if you're wondering what is an example of seeking the Lord's face and not merely his hands, well, the book of Job is a fantastic example. You see, Satan made a claim in the opening books of Job. Satan made a claim about the character, the moral character of Job. Satan said to God, Job only loves you. He only really loves you because of the good things you do for Job. If you were to take away all these good things, Job would surely curse you to your face. And Job experienced such hardship, such heartache, such pain, but yet his faith was secure. He did not curse the Lord. He earnestly sought the Lord and desired him with all his heart. And the Lord saw his true faith. And friends, for us today, when David says that he desires to be in the Lord's presence, for us, friends, it's by faith in the living Jesus Christ that we can know and have intimacy with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In Ephesians 3, chapter 12, it says, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That same confidence that David has in seeking the Lord earnestly, through Jesus, we can have that freedom and that confidence. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And this concept of one thing, we also encounter this in the New Testament, in the story of Martha and Mary in Luke's Gospel. And Jesus, as he's making his way to Jerusalem, he approaches the town of Bethany and encounters these two sisters, Martha and Mary. And as Jesus is in the home, Martha is busy, frantically trying to accommodate Jesus, being restless. Martha is in a posture of adoring the Lord, at his feet, seeking him, delighted at being in his presence, listening to him, at his feet, adoring Jesus. And Martha, being restless, says to Mary, Mary, what are you going to do about this? There's so much that needs to be done. Lord, tell Mary to come and help me. Jesus replies, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Friends, one thing is necessary in our lives. I love how Jesus uses the word necessary. Jesus is necessary, is essential in our lives. And Martha is restless. She's preoccupied with her thoughts. We can be like Martha too in our lives. Jesus, what are you doing about this? Why aren't you answering my prayers? We could also be in a state being distracted. We can also be distracted. Martha is distracted. There can be many things in our lives, other things, that try to compete with our one true desire of seeking the Lord. So let's just pause now. I'd like you to turn to one another at your tables and just to discuss and reflect, what are the other things in our lives that are competing with the one thing that we should be seeking in our lives? Just turn to one another, have some discussion, and then we'll reconvene in a minute or so. Okay, so we could come back together now. And friends, my prayer is that you'd be renewed, you'd be transformed into seeking Jesus more in your lives and not be distracted by those things that compete with our one true desire. The final point I'd like to make is that being with Jesus, being a Christian, doesn't mean living in isolation. Of course, we should have private, quiet time with the Lord, intimacy with the Lord. But that doesn't mean not going to church, because the church is the body of Christ. I think I want to avoid the erroneous interpretation that we can simply be Christians by having a private faith with Jesus, that it's just me and Jesus. I don't need to go to church. I don't need other people in my walk of faith. But the scriptures say otherwise. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Hallelujah. Christianity is not a private devotional journey of spirituality. A German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he puts it this way. In his book, Life Together, he says this: Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than this. We belong to one another through and in Jesus. So let's avoid misinterpreting this psalm that it's only the Lord and me and no one else. The church is where we can experience the Lord, his goodness, where we can be built up, where we can be spiritually nourished, where we can spur one another on in our walk of faith and to be a witness to those around us. Hallelujah. A theologian puts it this way on our faith. It's Eugene Peterson. He says, faith is always personal, but never private. Hallelujah, that we are salt and light to those around us. So to conclude, let's have a maturity of faith, friends, that we would love God for who he is and not simply for what he does. Let's seek the Lord's face and not only his hands. I'd really encourage you to go through your Bibles and just see how the Lord is described. What are the characteristics of the Lord? Who is the Lord? What is his identity? This is just one example from Exodus 34, verse 6. It says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Just reflect on God's character, his righteousness. He is merciful. He is gracious. He loves us. He calls us children. And let's also ask to be equipped by the Holy Spirit, to not be distracted by the other things that compete with the one thing that is truly necessary for fulfillment, for joy and security in our lives. I just want to end with some scripture. This is from Psalm 63, the first three verses. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.